Well, good morning. Good job, choir. You know, that's a lot of years of faith back there that we're looking at. And sometimes I think that we don't give you guys enough praise and honor because this church is here because of folks like you. You realize that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about faith. Well, it's good to be here. Hadn't stood in this pulpit in probably a couple of years, and it's good to be home. And my family and I want to thank you for the way you've taken us in. And it's just like old times. For those of you who don't know me, they just put up with me when I was about 24, 25, and taught me a whole lot. And I'm glad to be back. You know, I travel and I speak, and I've been all over different parts of the country and in Europe, and met a lot of different people. And over the years, I've met some interesting folks. And what I want to talk about is clarity today, you know. And sometimes people would talk to me and they weren't clear, or they didn't understand that I was speaking something to them very clearly and they didn't get it. You ever have your kids do that, parents, where you go clean your room, and then you walk up there and they say it's clean, and you look at it and the first thing that you want to say is, I don't think you understood me. I wanted you to clean this room. I didn't want you to shove it underneath the bed, throw it in the closet. Y'all ever had that happen to you? I mean, you just got to be clean. I was during a revival and at a little town in Texas, and the pastor stood about this tall, was a balding man of very few words, you know, said very little to me. And we would pass by. He'd drop me off every day at this the place where I was staying, which was a trailer. And they put me up in this little bitty trailer. But we would pass by these dairy farms every day. And I'm telling you, it stunk. How many of you have ever been around dairy farms? It stunk. It was terrible. And we would drive for like 20 minutes through these old dairy farms, and it stunk. But I never said anything. After about the third day, he's real quiet, and I looked over him, and I just said, boy, that stinks. I mean, I was pretty clear. And he drove that car, and he said, no, that's a good smell. That's an earthy smell. That's a God smell. And I was sitting there going, no. And I looked at him, I said, no, you don't understand me. That stinks. Ain't nothing good about it. Ain't nothing godly about it. It's just a stinky smell. I didn't make myself clear. One time I was talking to a man, and after the sermon, he came up to me, and the pastor was standing next to me. I'll never forget this, from East Texas area. And he came and said, I'll tell you what, I haven't been to bed during my life. I looked at the pastor and he said, man, he just wanted to tell you it was a good sermon. I said, well, thank you so much, because I didn't understand him. And then he said, hey, I want to know tomorrow morning, I'm going to grab and go score. And I looked at the pastor again. He goes, he wants to know if you want to go squirrel hunting tomorrow morning. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this man. He just kind of talked like that, and he stopped at the end of his sentence. And then I said, yeah, I'll go squirrel hunting with you. What time? Well, me about saying, I'm going to get some breakfast. Anyway, how about that? And I just gave up. I didn't understand this man. He was not speaking clearly. Well, what am I going to tell you this morning? I want you to know that when Christ walked this earth with his disciples, there was everything that he spoke was clear. Clarity, there was no problem with clarity. Every time he spoke, when he told his disciples what he was going to do, he was clear. There was no mixed messages. It was just that he was clear. And what you need to understand, just real quick history, is that Jesus stepped into the world, and all of a sudden he began to claim, and he claimed to be a rabbi. Now, for the Jews, that was something that was very important. There were rabbis that taught many things. And what happens is, a rabbi who walked out and would say things like this, and we've heard it in the scriptures. You have heard it said, but now I say to you. The antennas of the rabbis and the Jewish people all of a sudden would go up because they were sitting there going, well, wait a minute. This guy's teaching something new. He's adding to what we've already taught, or he's stopping and he's taking away from it. And so all the time you would hear the Jews say, by what authority? You ever hear them say that? They would say, hey, Jesus, by what authority do you teach? And what they wanted to know was, whose leadership are you falling under? Because when a rabbi would begin to teach something, what would happen is he would usually teach that he would say, I teach this in the name of so-and-so and so-and-so who taught so-and-so. In other words, the rabbi's teaching would be passed on. That's why when a rabbi would walk up to somebody and say, come follow me, it was a huge thing for somebody to, for a rabbi to step into somebody's life, a Jew's life, and say, would you follow me? What that meant was, you are worthy to be a rabbi, and I'm going to teach you how to be a rabbi. And when they would say, well, why, what authority do you have to teach? They wanted to know, who has ordained you to do this? Because what would happen is, when a rabbi would begin to teach, he would have to have the authority of two rabbis to validate his ministry, to validate his belief system. And he made it very clear, and he began to talk about John the Baptist, remember? He said, I'm validated because of the teaching of John the Baptist. And then he stepped further and he said, I'll tell you who else validates me, Jehovah God. And so when a man would step, a rabbi would step into the countryside and he would say this. Now listen closely. When he would say, you used to have heard it said this, but now I tell you this. People from miles around would travel to hear that guy because they thought maybe he had interpreted more of the scripture, more of the Torah. And Jesus walks into this world and he stepped into as a rabbi and he began to say, I'm going to bind things and I'm going to loose things. Remember he said to the disciples, he said, I give you the authority to bind things and to loose things. Now what that was known as in the Jewish tradition, it was known as he gave them the keys to the kingdom. Have you heard that before? All that's mixed into this Jewish tradition, this Jewish way of life. And so what I wanted to talk to you about this morning is just that the faith that it must have taken for these disciples and these early believers to step in line with this new rabbi's teaching. It was something that's amazing. Even now, you and I, do you realize how ludicrous to some people it sounds that we would sit in a church service on this day, every Sunday, and even come on Wednesdays, and we would hear about a rabbi that died over 2,000 years ago, and the Jewish people did not even validate his ministry. Do you realize how much faith it takes for you to even sit in that chair? Do you realize that? And I want us to go back and understand that everything he taught was clear. And last week, you know it was Easter. And today, I really entitled this message, we're going to crack the egg of Easter and we're going to see what's inside is what we're going to do. Because that's what happened when Jesus went to the cross and he died and he rose again. Hey, I want to tell you something. That is when faith had to be truly introduced to the church. And we're going to see that. If you'll turn to Luke again, we're going to read just a little bit more of the early part of this scripture. In Luke chapter 24, I love this story. Now, I claim to be a little odd when I read the Bible. I don't take away. I don't add to. But I believe that there are some things that are not mentioned because God wants us to use our imagination and he wants to put us in the situation. 2/3 of the Bible are narratives. That's simply that they're stories. They're stories about God and God's people. And they're there to teach us. And this is a great narrative in Luke chapter 24, verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that had been prepared and they went to the tomb. Nothing big there. They were preparing the body for the burial. They did not embalm bodies. And so what they were doing is they would get those spices. They would pour them over the body. They would cover the body and they were going to prepare that body to be in that tomb for a long, long time. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men with clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Look at the next word. Remember? And that's what I want you to know. Jesus has come to a point and said, listen, I was very clear to every one of you when I talked to you. I said, you tear down this temple, in 3 days it's going to be built back up. I said that I have given you the ability to bind and to loose. In other words, I have given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Did you not remember that these things I told you? I was clear in my intentions. I was clear when I taught you. In John, we learn that before Jesus died, he began to talk to the disciples and he told the disciples a lot of things. And one of the things he said, listen, I'm going to send a comforter to you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. And I want you to be clear on this. And he was very clear. What I do, the Father tells me to do. I and the Father are one. And what you see the Holy Spirit tell you to do, you are to do, because we work together. He could have not been any clearer to those guys, to those disciples, to say, you have got to trust me. And what he was doing, he was getting them ready for this moment in time, where basically, our way of saying it, where the rubber hit the road. Are you going to believe? Peter, all the disciples ran away, remember? They ran away. One guy ran away so fast, somebody stepped on his cloak, pulled his cloak off. He ran away naked. Y'all thought streaking came in the 60s? It happened right there in the Bible a long time ago. Man, he just streaked out. Peter stood. He stood there, wanted to kill everybody. You will not take my Jesus. But then we find out that he denied him. His faith was quivering. His faith, he just wasn't sure about all this. But everybody else wasn't. And all of a sudden, we get to this point where now it's time. Are you going to believe all the clear things I told you? And what is this message for us today? Are you and I going to believe what he tells us? If he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, then every loved one you have lost, they don't wear wings. They're not in a holding pattern. They are in heaven because he made it clear. He tells us very clearly what hell was going to be like. And that's in a literal place. That it's a place of burning and gnashing of teeth. And he described it in great detail because he wanted us to know, you can bank on it. There's a hell and people are going to spend their eternity there. And then he made it very clear when he said, listen, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one's going to come through me. Nobody's going to come to the Father except through me. It was clear. There wasn't anything added. There wasn't anything taken away. And now they get to the point where they have to believe. They have to make the decision because he's going away. They can't see him anymore. Well, what about you and I? Every day we step in here on this Sunday morning, we have to decide whether we're going to accept the rabbi's teaching. We're going to have to accept that he is Jehovah God. And that he's the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament. It is God. And that's why you aren't here today. We're here today because we believe that. Now, to a person who's never understood that, that is crazy. You realize that? It's crazy that we're here to most people. Why do you go to church? Why do you believe that stuff? Because I have faith. Because Jesus was clear. And all of a sudden, these ladies show up, and he had to remind them. Can you imagine that? Now, I know this was a holy moment, and I don't belittle it, but to me, if I ran to a tomb, and two people with bright, shining clothes just appeared, that would not be a happy moment for Pat Camerata. In my flesh, I would begin to go, oh, it was a ghost. How many times do they look at Jesus and go, it's a ghost? Hey, guys, it's not a ghost, it's me. And all of a sudden, they popped up, and they got on their knees, and I love their question, why are you here? Why are you here? You shouldn't be at this tomb. I told you I was coming out of it. Why in the world are you? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And then he said, remember. And he drew them back. Remember what he told you. Remember what you heard. Watch this. He says, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, verse 7. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men. Be crucified on the third day to be raised again. Then they remembered his words. And that's what I hope. That through whatever struggle that you or I are going through today, that we would remember. Remember who your God is. My goodness, he can do anything he pleases. Nothing stops his movement. Nothing stops his love. Nothing, nothing will cause him to say, or cause you to believe, should cause you to believe that he has abandoned grace and mercy that he's poured out on us. Nothing that you do. Those people that say, oh man, the church will cave in if I go in then. Well, if it does, it's because we built it wrong. There's nothing that you could do that God would say, well, I'm just going to kill you now. Boom. He's going to love you because he was clear. Clarity. I'm with you. I'm the storm. Clarity. You plant yourself by me, I'm going to give you living water. And that water lasts forever. It will never run out. Oh, but Pat, you don't know where I am. Well, I know where I've been. I know that I've been lied to. I know that I've been cheated at times. I know that I've been hurt. Hey, and that's 24 years of being in the church. That was Christian people. How about that? That's what I don't understand. Man, they have to believe. Watch this. It says, when they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11. I love the 11. Here we go again. And to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanne, Mary, the mother of James, and the others were with them, who told this to the apostles. I love this line. But they did not believe the women. We never believe you women, do we? Careful. You're not in any trouble, are you, John? All right, here we go. He will be. It says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. I'll tell you what. Look right here. I believe this about the church. I have no qualms about it. I believe for the past 30 years, if it wouldn't have been for the women in the church, they have been the strength of the body of Christ. They have held to the faith more than most men. Listen to me, ladies. Do you realize how important these ladies were? They were the first to go, and they were the first to be told, you remember, and you go back and you tell those guys. And look at them. They looked at them and said, you're nuts. Guys, you're crazy. But I love this one guy that we all love. It says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, I love that. Peter, however. Oh, Peter. He was a strong guy, but he was weak. Isn't that amazing? Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. He didn't even think about it. They said, hey, guys, he's alive. You're crazy. And Peter's going, oh, wait a minute. I'll not do this again. And he left and he ran. And the other gospel tells us that some other guys ran with him. And can you see Peter just running to the tomb? That's one of my favorite scenes. I have a picture of Peter and another guy running beside him in their faces. Y'all may have seen it before. Like, I've got to get to that tomb. Could it be real? You know why Peter ran to that tomb? Because he was fixing to let go. He was fixing to crack the egg, boom, of Easter and open it up. And inside that egg was a yoke. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy. You know what a yoke was? In the Hebrew, it was a word called shemik. And what it meant was that this is my teaching, my yoke. And he said, my yoke is easy. My teaching comes easy to you. All you have to do, it's not hard to swallow. It's not hard to understand. Some of us make Christianity so hard, don't we? Well, I got to fix all this stuff in my life. You can't even fix stuff in your life. I can't fix stuff in my life. I need Christ to fix it. Well, I got to get some things in order first. You don't even have order to your life. Christ gives you and me order to our lives. You realize that? We're just running around here and we don't even know what's going on. I told the kids the other night, we're like little bouncing chihuahuas. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. Eyes bug. We bark at everything. We don't know who's our friend. We sit in the lap and we're still shaking. Just little bitty chihuahuas. You know, and we don't know what we believe. Let me tell you something. Christ made it clear. And he said, hey, Peter, look inside. There's a yoke in there. And you have to decide whether you're going to grab my yoke. And listen to me, young people, medium adult, older adults, you grab all the yoke. You grab every bit of his teaching. You don't question it. I don't question the word of God. You believe a fish swallowed a man? Yeah. Well, what was it? I really don't care. All I know is it swallowed him. And I'll not question it. You really believe he came back to life? That's just something that's a non-negotiable for me. He came back to life. He was born of a Virgin Mary. The water did turn into wine. The water did turn into blood in the Old Testament. It wasn't a leaf that caused it. It was God. And when I grab the yoke, when I grab that shemik, I grab the whole thing and I go, I am following the rabbi's teaching. And some of us grab it nonchalantly. We just say, well, this is okay. I'll take this part of it. You take all of it. Because it's a good yoke. It's an easy yoke. It's easy to swallow. It's all about Christ. I love these guys. He runs back. Peter runs in there. Watch this. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So he runs in. Now, the other scriptures tell us that as they were running in, one of the disciples stopped and went, I ain't going in there. And the other one ran in. Peter ran in and went, and he's began to think. You know, I kind of liken it to an avalanche. You know, I don't know if you know this. I don't know this. I just read about it. Did you know that when it snows, they say that all snowflakes are different, but every snowflake has five different edges. It has five different points. And when that snow falls, it falls. And when it falls down, all the snowflakes begin to cling to one another. And then an avalanche happens. And an avalanche happens when the snow flakes begin to melt just a little bit and the edges let go. And the single snowflakes begin to say, I'm going for it. And what happened is, when Jesus was on the cross, the ground shook. The lightning came. The whole earth shook. And man, what happened is the believers had to decide whether they were going to let go of one another. Now, don't hear me say that the body should not cling to one another. But we know in that Corinthians that Paul tells us that the body is full of individuals. That when you and I worship, we don't worship God as a group. God does not pay attention to us when we worship. He pays attention to me and you 100% of the time. I have argued with a professor one time. Well, worship is corporate. No, no, no. Worship looks corporate, but worship is me and God and you and God and that person in China and God. He doesn't pay attention to us. He pays attention to us as individuals. So I want you to know what God was trying to do is he shook the earth, and just like those little snow, they begin to let go. And that's what Peter was doing. He was going, you know what? I'm going to melt away myself. And I'm going to go for this thing. And there was an avalanche that started. It was the first avalanche of faith in the Christian church. And man, Peter, you know, avalanches, when you see them go, I've seen an avalanche happen, and I've seen an avalanche, an aftermath of an avalanche. But I want to tell you, when an avalanche happens, that I see Peter, I'm just sitting there going, he goes, believe, remember? And then I see Peter's that little ball of snow going, I'm going for it. And he starts rolling down. And then another one rose down because the disciples just kind of followed him. Can you imagine what they said to one another? What are you doing? I don't know, but I'm going for it. You know, watch out for that tree. And all of a sudden, that's when faith entered the Christian church. And man, an avalanche happened. And they began to let go of one another. But they began to cling to the yoke of Christ and follow his teaching and say, I will believe that this was the Son of God. And man, I want to tell you something. If you've ever seen the aftermath of an avalanche, you will know something. It is devastating. It will clear everything in its path. I'm telling you, that's what we as believers need to be doing. We need to let go of our own selves. We need to let go and say, I want to grab the yoke of slavery. I'm going for this ride, and I'm going with it. And and when people look back at a church of individuals that believe in Christ 100% and they live their lives according to the scripture, you will see a path that has been cleared, and the lost will notice. I believe sometimes the place that we can die spiritually if we're not careful is even in the body, because we put so much faith in one another. But do you know why that person brought meals to your house when you were hurting or needy? And do you know why that person gave you money because you were needy? And do you know why this church provided for you and me? I'll tell you why. Because of Jesus. It wasn't them. It was Christ in them. My challenge to you is that we have to know that Jesus speaks clear. And we have to know that he is faithful to us. And we have to grab hold of it. Some of you need to let go and just allow God. And say, you know what, God, I'm going to fall under your teaching. I'm going to believe in you. You don't know what you're doing, though. You think I know what I'm doing? You're going, yeah, you're preaching. Well, do you really? I step up here in 5 minutes before I preach at any place. Man, my hands start sweating and I get nervous. And I go, oh, God, okay, clean me. Get me ready. I do. Just get me ready. I don't know what I'm going to say. Yeah, you do. You're going to say what I'm going to tell you. I'm here to tell you that it's time, first of all, to remember. Remember the day of your salvation. That's why I brought you back there, students, Wednesday night. I want you to remember what Christ did for you. Some of you need to go back and remember what Christ did for you on the cross, just like they had to. And we find out here that, and I love Jesus. He all of a sudden he begins to show up, and I'll read through this very quickly. Verse 13. And then they begin to talk about the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. I just love Jesus. Jesus, when you really, I wonder if he looked up at the Father sometime and said, "Hey, Daddy, can I?" He go, "Okay, go ahead." Because all of a sudden he just appeared. These two guys are walking, and because of time, I just want to, you can read it later. They were downcast, and they were talking about, "Jesus is dead, what are we going to do?" And all of a sudden, man, this guy appeared. Poof. "Hey, guys, what's going on?" That was Jesus. Well, he knew what was going on. And they're walking, but they didn't recognize him. God didn't let them recognize him. So as they're walking, they're going, one of them, I love what he said, "Are you the only one here that doesn't, are you only a visitor that doesn't have a clue what's going on? Hello?" And then he began to tell the story. Why did he ask the question? You know why? Because the second thing I want you to understand is not only do you need to remember that God was clear, but secondly, you need to understand that truth will draw you to Christ because he is truth. And they begin to tell the story. Can you imagine Jesus going, you ever had people tell you a story that you already know? But you're nice. And you know what I mean? And you're just going, uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, really? And you're a liar. You knew the story. You heard it 3 times. Or a joke somebody tells you. And you're thinking, oh, bless their hearts. I'll let them kill the punchline. I'll laugh. Oh, yeah. Heard that 1,000 times. You ever done that? Well, that's what Jesus was doing. He's sitting there. He knew the truth. He knew everything about it. He's going, really, really, really. But it says that their faces were downcast. Why were they downcast? Because they hadn't understood true faith. And all of a sudden, he looks at him. And I love Jesus says, "You didn't hear about those things? What things? Tell me about those things. Speak those things. Talk about those things. Remember how faithful God is to you and me. Remember God's faithfulness when he took care of you? Remember God's faithfulness when you're driving down the road and you just hate everybody? Come on, turn your halo down and realize we're all human here. Will you just think, good night. I'm the only person, I know you've thought it, I'm the only person that has a clue around here. You ever felt that way? Yeah, you have. Well, I'm not that pious. Well, yeah, you are. Yeah. You're driving the car and then God was faithful to give you a song that would speak, minister. That's God's faithfulness. Oh, man, God is so good to us. Amen. He's so faithful to us and all he wants us to be is be faithful to his yoke. Watch what happens then. And then he said to them, verse 20, he said, they had seen him, but they did not see. And they came to him, they talked about the tomb, but they didn't believe it. And then he said to him, he said, how foolish are you and how slow to heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these? You see what he did? He's going back going, listen, guys, I was clear the first time. I told it to the ladies to my, now I'm telling you, everything I said is true. Watch this. And he began to teach about the prophets and Moses. And so he began to say, well, listen, I got to move on. Look at verse 2. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went up to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he broke the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he began to give it to them and their eyes were open. I love that. It's like he's going, now, Daddy. And they went, oh, it's Jesus. And look what Jesus does. Poof. He disappears. Don't you love that? Let me tell you something. Jesus may have disappeared. We may not be able to see his body. We may be able to. I want to tell you something. Jesus may have disappeared, but his truth still lingers. You can't put God down. Man, listen to those doomsayers that say, well, boy, things are getting bad. Man, things have always been bad. Homosexual is bad in the Greco-Roman world. Drinking was bad in the. You know why it looks so bad to us? Because now we get to watch TV and see how bad it is all over the place. But it's always been bad. You know why? Because we're human. We're bad. And I'm talking about bad. I'm talking about we're bad. Our minds are bad. Our thoughts are bad. But God is faithful. Watch this. And then they said these words. Then their eyes were open. They recognized him and he disappeared. I just love that. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us, arose and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts not burning? When's the last time your heart burned, hungered for God, and burned because you spent so much time with him and you just felt his presence and you knew he was there? That's when you were taking on the yoke. That's when you understood that you had the keys to the kingdom. That you could bind and loose in the name of Jesus. Man, I've seen evil things in my short 44 years. I believe I've seen satanic things. People that were demon-possessed. But I got to remember, for some reason, God just always put it in me, don't you fear, you get back there, because I am in you. I'm in you. You're in me. Oh, wait a minute. And the Father's there with us. And he's telling the Holy Spirit what to do. And he's going to guide you. He's going to tell you what to do with that marriage. He's going to tell you what to do with that wayward child, that son, that daughter. He's going to tell you. He's going to tell you what to do about your boss and your job and your kid. He spoke clearly then, and he speaks clearly now. Because God is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can bank on it. God will be faithful to me. God will be faithful to you. The question is, will we be faithful to him? But if we're not, he's still faithful. I don't get that, do you? So what do you take with you? First of all, remember. Remember who your God is. He's Jehovah God. He's the God above all gods. He is God. Remember. Remember that God entered your heart at a certain time, a certain place. Remember. Remember that he's faithful. Secondly, cling to the truth because it's lingering there. Truth is not hard to find. It's right there. It's right there, students. It's just truth. Truth is not hard to find. And then lastly, take all of it. Believe the rabbi. Take the yoke. Man, it's a good yoke. It's powerful. I believe we've forgotten as a church that if individually we will pay attention to our relationship with God, it's just like pebbles of snow. You're rolling down all together. Remember when you got married? What are we doing? I don't know. Where are we going? I don't know. Hey, Pat, you're going to do ministry. What's that? But I can look back, and not with arrogance, but with assurance that as I went down the hill and I let go and I began to grab God's yoke, I can tell you this. God used my life to affect other people. And he wants to use yours as well. There's a little church down the road called Friendship Baptist Church that's full of people that were faithful to God. So I came to know Christ. And now I get to speak the gospel. Who is faithful to you? And who are you going to be faithful to? There's a church here called First Baptist Church that was faithful to me and to the Lord as they watched me grow up. Egging me on. Someone pushing my buttons. I remember some of you old guys used to push my buttons and you'd walk away going, God, that guy's easy. And then I learned, oh, you're trying to teach me. God is faithful. Maybe you've never grabbed, truly, and look right here, I'm closing. You never grabbed God's yoke. You've never believed in the rabbi. I want to tell you, you're pretty faithful right now because you're sitting in a church and you're actually having faith that maybe this is real. Well, it is. Would anybody agree it's real? Because it was real to me. And if you've never confessed Christ, you say, well, what does it take to follow the rabbi? It's very simple. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that he died and he was buried, and on the third day he rose up from the dead, it says you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from total separation from God. That means saved from hell. Well, I go to church. No, that's what it says. Church did not even enter the picture. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, those three things. Jesus was the Son of God. He died on a cross. They buried him. He rose again. It says you will be saved. If you want that, it's yours, and it's free. But take all of it. It's pretty clear, isn't it? So I want to offer to those this morning that have never made that confession. I'll be up here. Brother Charles will be here. If you want to come talk to us, we'd love to lead you to God. And you'll find that his yoke is very, very easy. It's easy. Maybe you need to join. I know my family and I are going to join this morning, Brother Charles. We'll be coming to see you. This is a faithful church who are full of faithful people. And I pray maybe you'll just join us. Maybe you just need to pray. We're not lingering long, but we want to give you an opportunity. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for the fact that you're clear and that you are faithful to us. We ask you to help us. Even as we sit there and wonder, God, Lord, should I get up? God, are you calling me? I would tell you as you sit there and we pray, if you sense that, yes, he's calling you. It's clear. He's telling you, give your heart to me. Get up. Walk past everybody else and accept me. I pray for those who just need to remember what God has done for them to make their faith stronger. Pray that you'd strengthen them. Pray for those who are hurting. They would gather the truth that lingers in their midst. And they would trust in Christ. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's